Hello, everybody. This is the Phillies Today podcast New Year's edition. You know, not necessarily a ton going on right now in the world of the Phillies, but I thought it would be fun, you know, given that it is New Year's, to take a look back at the year that was here in Phillies baseball and also take a peek to what's next in 2025, because baseball is the only sport that the entire season happens in one given calendar year. So I think this is the most fun sport to do with this. So stay tuned. When we look back at 2024 on the Phillies, listen, it's a year I could go back to 365 days ago, right? It's a year in which they were coming off, like, I would say, relatively high expectations. I would say a season in 2023 where they lose to the Arizona Diamondbacks, disappointing fashion. Everyone expected that team, I think, once they got to the NLCS, to go back to the World Series, be in contention, be in position for, you know, contend for a championship in the second consecutive year. And then in year three, when I'm saying year three, 2022 was the first time this team had made the playoffs in 11 years. And you felt a real shift, a real shift in how people talk about, care about, follow baseball in this city as a result of it. Like, there was absolutely a shift. Like, me, you know, maybe the people who listen to this and a few other people, you know, were really tuned in the Phillies each and every night from 12 to 21, but especially in some of those down years, 15, 16, 17, there was not a lot of interest down at the ballpark, right? So you come off at 23 and it's the second year they've lost, and in 22, they're this great story and they fall short in the end, but everyone still agrees that was a successful season. 2023, okay, maybe not everyone agrees it's a successful season. They fell short, but they still, you know, were in the NLCS. 2024, it was like, all right, no more. Like, now people, they aren't just this cool story anymore. It's not just, hey, fun baseball team. It's, there's real expectations. And there is a real belief that this team needs to contend for a championship, right? So the year before, they signed Zach Wheeler to his contract. This past offseason, like one offseason ago, they signed Aaron Nola to his, and that was kind of their big offseason acquisition. And, you know, they make some minor other tweaks to the roster, but for the most part, it was the same team returning as what we saw in 2023, right? Like, Trey Turner was the acquisition in 23, and in 24, there was no massive new guy. So, 2024, the team starts out unbelievably hot. They, first couple of weeks, not so much, but like by the end of April, May, June, even into July, we're talking about a team that is being regarded as the best in baseball. It felt like winning was just like every single night. Like, going down to that ballpark every night was such a thrill. It was literally such a thrill, because it was like my favorite thing to do. Well, anyone who follows me on Twitter at Dan_Wilson4 knows that I was counting down the magic number from April. But that, in addition to that, this was a team who, like, literally they would hit a win total. It's like they got to 50 wins. The 2015 Phillies didn't win that until late August. This team did it in May or June or that kind of thing. And then when they got to 60 wins, wow, the 2015 team didn't do that till September. And then they get to 70 wins. Wow, the 2015 team never did that. Like, the pace they were on was unbelievable, and it put into perspective seasons of years past. And for those who sat through those long, hard, painful years, I'm talking the Ryan Sandberg years and the Pete Maccannon years, and then, you know, the Kapler years and the Joe Girardi years, they were bad. And 2024 was so promising for the Phillies in the first half of it. You know, I got the opportunity to go to spring training, and then in the first 3 months of the season, it was great. And then, you know, I was thinking about here at the end of the year, how will I, you know, tell your kids, your grandkids, or how would you describe to someone who doesn't follow this team super closely, like, what 2024 was all about for the Phillies, right? How do you put that into words? How do you put that into proper perspective? How do you try and describe where the expectations began and where they ended up? And I think the only way you can do it is just say, like at the end of the day, I think when we all, I was pretty close on my preseason win total. Mike Angelina, who works here actually, is now in the last 5 years, like four out of the five last years, has nailed the win total exactly. I had, they finished with 95. I think I predicted 93. So their ultimate win total is where everyone thought it started, or like where it would be, or where a lot of people thought it would be. And, it, you know, what's great about baseball, one of the things I absolutely love about baseball is that when you're talking 162 games, you'll go through hot streaks, you'll go through cold streaks, you'll go through middle of the pack streaks. At the end of 162, you know, we hear it a lot in football, but you truly are what your record says you are, barring major injuries, barring something totally unforeseen. You are pretty much what your record says you are. And at the end of 162 games, they won 95, and that's kind of what we thought they were going in, a 95-win team. We weren't sure if that would be good enough to win the National League East because the Braves had some unforeseen injuries, you know, Ronald Acuna most notably. And they, you know, while they made the playoffs in 2024, did not last very long. They lost in the wild card round. The Phillies winning 95 games, the path they took to get there, because it started so hot and so dominant, and because this team felt like it just forgot how to lose, they were winning series left and right. It was a rarity. There was a point in 2024 where it was literally a rarity for this team to lose a series. And then it got a little bit more often, and then they finally got swept by the Yankees, and it, you know, got a little bit more frequent. And then I think back to that A's game against that, you know, that final A's game just before the All-Star break when they decided to scratch Zach Wheeler, and felt like they just didn't really care about winning it. And I don't know if there was a mindset shift or what happened there, but certainly it was frustrating from the point of view that it felt like that's where the season changed. And they went through a real rut, and then they kind of, we do the Are the Phillies Back thing like once a week, and they were good enough to win the National League East. The magic number wasn't going down as steadily, but they did get there. Even though I'll always remember 2024 is the year where we learned how to properly calculate a magic number. The Phillies Twitter account quite literally screwed it up. Major League Baseball screwed it up due to the fact that they weren't accounting for tiebreakers. They were using the traditional formula. Whatever. That's my 30 seconds of baseball nerdiness. This was a season to remember for a lot of reasons, and you know, on the other side of this break here, I'll go more into how we'll remember it for what happened in the postseason. But this was really a tremendous regular season for a while there. It was really a tremendous season in terms of seeing what certain guys in this lineup are capable of. When Bryce Harper's going well, what he's capable of. When Realmuto was going well, what he was capable of. When Trey Turner was actually going well for the first time in a Phillies uniform, what he was capable of. What Alec Boehm was capable of, who with each passing day looks like it's more and more likely he will not be traded and he'll probably come back to the Phillies. What you know, Nick Castellanos is capable of, or Johan Rojas learning how to bunt, or would Zach Wheeler and Aaron Nola continue to be some of the most durable pitchers in baseball? Ranger Suarez is a freaking Cy Young candidate. This is the type of stuff we saw in 2024. And things slowly got a little, you know, it was like a perfectly well-oiled machine early in the year, and then there was a little bit of squeakiness, you know, a little bit of grease that started popping up, a little bit of aging later in the season. And you got to be able to go the distance. And I think as we turn the page here to 2025, this is a team who, you know, is riding hard with Dave Dombrowski, with Rob Thompson, you know, so much so that they gave him a contract extension. Like, we're looking at a team that is very, very committed to its current approach. It is very, very committed to what they're currently doing. They don't believe there's some huge issue here. They don't believe that they're some team who needed massive changes. If that was the case, again, they wouldn't have extended the manager through 2026. And I think listening to Dave Dombrowski's press conference at the end of the 24 season, again, that was after the postseason, tells you everything you need to know about where this team thinks it's going in 2025. The most notable offseason moves they've made were Jordan Romano, Max Kepler, your everyday left fielder. You had Jesus Luzardo. That was notable a couple of Sundays ago. Preston Mattingly is now the general manager. Sam Folt's going to go get his MBA at Penn, kind of learn the business side. A lot of stuff going on in that Phillies organization that I find to be really fascinating. I think 2025 projects to be another big and relevant year for the Phillies and baseball in Philadelphia in general. And I am hopeful that I'm just really, really hopeful that it obviously ends better, but that 2025 is another step forward. Because if you thought people started to lose their patience in 24, the patience will absolutely begin to go out in 2025. So I'm hopeful that as someone who lives and breathes the Phillies 365 days a year, like I cannot get enough baseball, in particular Phillies baseball. I'm watching them every night. I really am truly, truly, massively hopeful that 2025 is a huge, huge year for the local ball club. On the other side, we will get into that playoff loss, how much that should be weighted into off-season thoughts, and then get out of here and wish you a happy new year. So, I'm your host, Dan Wilson. I'll be right back. Welcome back to the Phillies Today podcast. Again, I am your host, Dan Wilson. I want to wish everyone a happy new year as we look back at the Phillies in 2024. And again, let's fast forward to the postseason. Let's fast forward to what the Phillies did in the postseason in the year 2024. This is a team who had high expectations based upon the regular season. This is a team who came in with a first-round bye. They were flirting with the one seed for a while. They got the two seed. This is not football. You still get a first-round bye. They got the New York Mets, a very familiar foe. And they flat-out got beat. This was not a case of, oh, it was just a short series or whatever else. I think if that series was best of seven, best of nine, or whatever, it didn't feel like the Phillies had it in them to win that series. The bullpen going to crap, you know, did not help at all. The offense really, really struggling down the stretch of the season did not help. And that was kind of the most disheartening thing for me, is that this wasn't like different from what we had seen the past couple, you know, the months leading up to it. This was not 2011. Like, the 2011 Phillies really just hit a wall in the division series in a way that we really hadn't seen during the regular season. Whereas in the year, you know, 2024, like we'd seen second half Phillies were not always the best. So they lose the division series to the Mets 3-1. Phillies fans everywhere, I think, unfortunately, have now, until further notice, we have lost the ability to make like LOL Mets jokes or like the Mets suck. Just don't think that's really in the cards anymore. Don't think that's allowed for a team you just lost to in the playoffs. They will have the edge over us. They obviously signed Juan Soto this offseason. The Mets in general, like, Juan Soto is going to be a menace to deal with for many, many years to come, but that doesn't mean that we're talking about, you know, a team that always beats up on the Phillies. Their pitching is still suspect at best. I'll take the Phillies rotation over theirs, and I'll take the Phillies rotation up against most, if not all, teams in Major League Baseball. So I think that's why the Phillies will really have a chance to compete in the year 2025. If you look on the odds, I think they're top five in World Series odds, but top five or six in World Series odds, but they're third in the NL East. Kind of just shows you what they're up against a little bit with the Braves and Mets. You don't play the same number of games that you used to. It used to be 19 games versus the division. Now it's only 14. So that's certainly fortunate. But just generally speaking, this is not going to be some easy task to try and make the playoffs as currently constructed. If theoretically the odds are correct, the best the Phillies could do is the five seed, and then you're hosting a wild card round. And no, you're not even hosting a wild card round. You're literally going on the road in a wild card round. You have to be the four to host the three of the four to host the wild card. The three is a division winner, and the four is a wild card winner. And then the five, you'd be going on the road. So if the odds play true, this could be a Phillies team that goes on the road in the wild card round, just like they did in 2022 when they played the Cardinals. This past year, they obviously didn't need to flirt with the wild card round at all. But as far as this offseason goes, like, I think there's a really when we talk about sports in the modern day, there's a what I'm going to call a championship bias. And what I mean by that is obviously championships are the most important thing. Obviously, winning a title is the most important thing in all of sports. But there is sometimes a bias to how good or bad a player is based upon how they play, you know, in playoff games. And when it comes to baseball, like, yes, you're measured ultimately by what you do in the postseason that can help your, you know, things like a Hall of Fame case or how your career is viewed. But when you really, like, Major League Baseball more so than any other sport, like, the difference between judging a guy's body of work over 162 versus what he did in a five-game playoff series is the biggest drop-off from, like, baseball has so much variance. Like, in football, your quarterbacks might crap the bed in a playoff game, but for the most part, like, the best team emerges out of the NFL playoffs, wins the Super Bowl. NBA, usually the best team wins the NBA Finals. In the Stanley Cup, it's a little bit more random, but regular season's 82 games. You get hot. It's a seven-game series all the way through, whatever. Like, baseball, you could have a guy who is the best player in baseball and completely doesn't show up in the playoffs, which you wouldn't likely see in another sport. You could see a guy like Mike Trout, who was the best player in baseball for years, never make the playoffs because the impact he has on the game, generally speaking, is low relative to the stars in other sports. And so I think it's easy for all of us to say when the season ends, oh, we got to go make big changes. Go change this. Go change that. Go trade Bohm. Go trade Ranger Suarez. But I don't think the Phillies necessarily should weigh the what they did in the NLDS like more heavily than what happened in the regular season. I don't think that's necessarily an indication that this team doesn't have the it factor in October, whatever you want to say. Like, this team is still really good. This team is still projected to win high 80s, if not in the 90s, win total in the year 2025. And at the end of the day, sometimes you see a team like the 22 Phillies who sneaks in the playoffs and then does really well in the postseason. Sometimes you see the reverse. Sometimes there's no correlation at all. Sometimes there is. It's kind of the postseason baseball is kind of hard to predict. Now, you know that you're going to need certain things, a bolstered bullpen. You can never have too much pitching. But, like, offense goes in and out. It's really kind of hard to build your offense for October specifically. I mean, I guess contact hitters you could make the argument for, but that's a really, really difficult thing to do, I believe. I don't think the Phillies need to make some massive, massive changes here. I don't think their window has closed, as some people believe. I think they are very much in contention. I think their 2025 promises, not promises, but has the potential to be another promising year for the Phillies. And I really think that there was a bit of an overreaction by the fan base in the year 2024. And if I were to retell the story of the 2024 Phillies to a relative, to my kids, grandkids one day, I think I would do so in saying that there was, hopefully the 2025 Phillies take a step forward and I can use that to bolster my point here. But I hope one day to tell them, listen, the 24 Phillies, it was really disappointing. It sucked watching it. But they were better than people gave them credit for because the regular season, they won 95 games in the regular season. They should have, like, probably should have won 100, but they were unbelievable, and they played so well at the beginning of the year that they kind of coasted, you know, on autopilot the remainder of the season, and they still were the 2 seed, and they're still pretty damn close to the 1 seed. So I think that's how I'll choose to remember the 2025 Phillies, just as, or 2024 Phillies, just as a general rule. All right, so that's going to do it for today's episode of Phillies Today. Again, super, you know, enjoy everyone who listens. I hope, you know, everyone has enjoyed baseball in the year 2024. 2025 promises, again, to be hopefully even better. If they take a step back, it means they'd lost in the wild card round or just didn't make the playoffs. Both would be unbelievably bad. I hope to see the Phillies back in the NLCS. Would love to see them, or, you know, in the World Series, but take a step forward minimum means going to the NLCS. Playing against a team like the Mets or the Dodgers or whatever the case might be, I want to see them in with all the contenders in the National League. I think that would be tremendous. I hope it happens. And I'm really, really, truly hopeful that, and believe that it can. I'm not just blowing smoke here, that the 2025 Phillies will be really good. And I'd like to see Dave Dombrowski be a little bit more aggressive in 2025. No more sitting on his hands. No more like 24. No more like 23. Hopefully more moves like the Jesus Luzardo move, and we can talk about a president of baseball operations to be proud of, and we can stop, like, how many times have we heard, well, you know, Dave Dombrowski's going to do something. No, it's been too many years for us to keep saying that. But hopefully he can save his image in the eyes of Phillies fans, real hardcore Phillies fans, in the year 2025. So again, that's going to do it for today's episode of Phillies Today. I hope everyone has a happy new year, and I'll talk to you next time again right here on the Phillies Today podcast.